The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept.
Yes. You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
My wife and I got into it today. It's kind of interesting. Thank you, Barb. Wow, I didn't even know that was in there. Thank you. I told her, I said, hey, we got to get a new dryer. The dryer is making my clothes shrink. And she said, no, Ray, the refrigerator is making your clothes shrink. Nice to have you here. It's Dr. Ray Guarendi, the program The Doctor Is In. The number to get onto the program, which is so very easy. I had to scratch and claw and grovel and beg, negotiate to get this program 20 years ago. Well, what do you expect? I was just coming out of college. But you just have to call a number, 877-573-7825. Now, most people cannot remember that number if I just say it. It's too many. Research on short-term memory tells you about seven digits. Seven bits of information is the maximum or the optimum that people can remember. You throw in an area code, and now it messes them up because 877-573, they're with you so far, and then you throw in 7825, which isn't really not related to anything. If it was 7888, you could remember it. You know, I think they did that at Ave just so people wouldn't call me. Can't prove it. 877-57-EQUAL. Three bits. 877-57-EQUAL. If you have a question, something in your life, something that is puzzling you or irritating you or frustrating you, or something that you think, I don't know if I should be nicer about this, more Christian about this. Nice and Christian is not always a synonym. Neither should it be. Or if you have a generic question or to help someone else. Yesterday we had a number of calls, folks calling in and talking about continuing to support somebody financially, even emotionally. Long after it appeared that what they're doing was helpful. In fact, it was hurtful. And it was guided by emotions that said, I must, because I couldn't live with myself if this didn't work out. Which related to a monologue I was talking about, which is you can do the right thing and it doesn't always work out. So the number, 877 57 equal, if you'd like to get onto the program with a particular question, a generic question, a helpful suggestion for someone else, or if you dare to disagree with me. That's right. I'll admit it. I can be wrong. I was wrong. What day was that? It was January 9th, 1994. Yeah, I was wrong then. And it was because I thought I was wrong, and it turned out I wasn't wrong. So I was wrong about being wrong. So, yeah, that was kind of the last time. Please don't email me and say, oh, Dr. Ray, why do you say that? You've probably been wrong a lot of times since then. You can't see my tongue planted firmly in my cheek as I speak. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. I already got some calls coming in. That's very nice. Very, very much appreciate your calls. One of the big behavior strategies when I was in grad school, we had to learn this, particularly useful for classrooms or for younger children was tangible rewards, you know, like the sticker systems that they use in early elementary class situations. Tangible rewards. You identify the behavior. They called it the target behavior. You had to be specific. You couldn't just say, be kinder. You had to say, share your toy with so-and-so. Target behavior. And then every time the target behavior was expressed, you gave a reward. Every time. Consistency. They called it a continuous reinforcement schedule. The theory behind that was you used the tangible rewards to get the behavior to be produced. The kid would initially share a toy because he gets a sticker. And if he gets so many stickers, then he can buy a red Corvette or whatever it is you do with the stickers. I don't know how many stickers you have to get a red Corvette. Probably 1,000 to get like a used one. And those of you old enough, you remember S&H green stamps. Remember that? Oh, man, my mom used to take those books and she'd bring them in by the truckload. And she bought her house, I think, with S&H green stamps, or at least part of it, the roof maybe. That's the theory. Well, like so many things that are theories, if you objectively study them, if you find ways to design research that would answer the question, does this work as you hypothesized it would work? You find out it really doesn't. What they found was that if you did this, let's say that you want your little six-year-old to make her bed. So you put a little chart up on the refrigerator. My theory is that sticker systems go onto refrigerators to die. The average life of a sticker system on a refrigerator is, 27, 28 days. Just my informal observation. Go into houses and I see the yellowed sticker system there. I say, hey, what's that for? Oh, yeah, we did that when my son was in kindergarten. Oh, how old's your son now? Oh, he's a lawyer. Okay. Kind of a memory, I guess, of the preschool days. So the sticker system is, every time you make your bed, I'm going to give you a sticker. Now, initially, you're supposed to make your bed because you want that sticker. And you want what that sticker can buy, right? Capitalism. What to buy. What they found was when you took away the sticker system, you took away the tangible reward, the behavior actually slipped below the initial level. Apparently, the internal motivation that the external reinforcement was supposed to shape didn't happen. The kids made the bed for the sticker. Take away the sticker, it don't make the bed. So what do? You take a lesson from Las Vegas. That's right. Las Vegas is very, very insightful regarding raising children. How can this be? How can the gambling capital, the materialistic capital of the world, give you ideas on how to raise children? Because Las Vegas uses the most powerful reinforcement schedule. It's called a variable reinforcement schedule. That is fancy sounding language for at random. You play a slot machine, you don't know when it's going to pay off. You have no idea when it's going to pay off. You know it's going to pay off, but you have to play it a lot to get it to pay off. The more you play, the more likely it's going to pay off, but it's not going to pay off enough that you earn money unless you hit it kind of big. So given that, the variable reinforcement schedule is the most powerful reinforcement schedule. How does that help parents? Simple. You reward a child at random. In other words, let's say the kids are doing great. They've been getting along the last 3 days. And you tell them, hey, you guys really been treating each other well. I bought that new ice cream that I know you like. I got it. We're going to have some tonight. At random, unpredictable. I had an SBH teacher, severe behavior handicap teacher. You know what he used to do? Every so often with the kids, he'd say, automatic free time. He would do this because he, at random, when the kids, mostly boys, in the class were following classroom rules, being responsible, and he thought that, yeah, that's happened long enough time here, day and a half, half a day, 3 days, whoever, whenever, whatever. Free time, automatic free time. They never knew when it was coming, but they knew it would come. So take a lesson from Las Vegas. If you're going to use tangible rewards for kids, what happened to Jerry? That's it. He called in and then he left. I know what happened. He thought, the guy's talking on too long, too impatient. I'm going to go. If you're going to use tangible rewards with a kid, variable ratio schedule at random, most powerful, works best. Thank you for joining me.
We'll return after these messages.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
You're listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Two hours of antidote, the airborne cure for parentis maximus, wimpus, chronic or acute type. Dispensing Doc Is In went on generic a little while back. Try psych and all. Nice to have you with me. All right, let's go to the questions here. This is an interesting one from Jacob in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, doctor. I kind of bouncing off your introduction monologue. At what age do children start to understand cause and effect? And when do punishments and rewards start to shape their behavior?
Are you saying a most fundamental type of cause and effect? In other words, if A, then B, and I don't really know why B is coming, but I just know B is coming?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say roughly between 1 and 2. Let's say, for example, that your 16-month-old takes a swat at the dog, hits the dog right in the nose, and you put that little 16-month-old on the steps. Now, that's pretty early to put a kid on the steps. He has no idea why it's wrong to swat the dog on the nose. And he has no idea what the dog could do if he swats him on the nose. All he knows is that somehow those are linked. Hit, sit. That's it. He knows this. Parents will say to me, but he doesn't understand. Well, not in the way that you would understand if you get older. And the analogy I use, Jacob, is this. Do you have a dog?
I do not.
Okay. We have a dog. And we're not going to wait when we got that dog as somewhat of a puppy. We were not going to wait until he understood why not to pee in our house. We were going to train him to do his business outside. The link for that dog was when you have to eliminate, you go to the door, or you howl, or you let some sign happen. Now, that dog is not as smart as a 16-month-old. No way, not even close. But yet, that 16-month-old can make that link. I always tell parents, if you start, I always say the earlier, the easier with discipline. If you start early, let's say two and a half, sitting a child on the steps. Now, first time my oldest sat on the steps was 15 months. My youngest, who came along 12 years later, I think I sat her on the steps when she was 22. I think that was the first time I did because I just, you know, you get sloppy as a parent and you just didn't follow through. Not because she was so well behaved. So, given that, the cause and effect relationship is just simply a link. If A, then B. Most very young children can make that link. You can almost make the case, and I don't know if I'm stretching this too far or not, when you have a six-month-old, and that six-month-old cries because he's in distress because he's hungry, and you give him a bottle, and it stops the crying. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to know that if I cry, that's my signal that I want a bottle. He's crying out of distress. But at some point in that very young child's life, he's going to realize that his mother or his father will pick up on certain signals that he gives off. For example, my little grandson was at the house, and he's 13 months old. He points. As soon as he points, he knows that adult, if it's something that he can have, is going to get it and give it to him. So he made the link at 13 months. Point, get. A, B. From a moral perspective, is very different. Are you asking from a moral perspective, Jacob?
I'm not. We have a 9-month-old, and so I guess I'm asking on the other extreme of when is it possible to do it too early, to discipline too early?
If you do it too early, the main complication is going to be he just doesn't understand. He can't even make that link. All right, somewhere between, let's say he walks early. Let's say he's walking at 10 months. And he goes over and he is curious and he reaches up and he tries to get past your protection on the outlets. And you don't want him to touch the outlets. So you take him and you sit him in a high chair or you put him in a playpen. Probably a little too young to make that link. He just can't connect that. But I would say that, well, within the second year of life, he'll make that connection. You do certain things, here's what mom and dad do. He doesn't have any idea why. All he knows is that conduct leads to that consequence. Very basic stuff.
That does answer my question.
All righty, my friend. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
I remember the first time I put my son, Andrew, on the steps. He's probably about 15, 16 months old. And I put him on the steps, I gave some very brief explanation. And I went against all psychological rules. I used the word no. Oh, yes, he's traumatized for life. And my wife said, Ray, don't. And I thought, what? My wife, who is a more supervisory parent than I am, telling me no? And I said, honey, why not? And she said, I wanted to be the first one to put him on the steps. There it is. I usurped the discipline role. Jerry from New York. Hi, Jerry.
Dr. Ray, I can't believe I actually got through. So wonderful to speak to you.
Well, so, Jerry, if you would have told our call screamer, Eric Dumont, that it would be wonderful to speak to me. He has instructions that anybody who says it would be positive to speak to me gets on first.
Oh, well, I did lose my call because my phone kind of conked out, so I called back, so I can't blame him. But I'm a grandma, Dr. Ray, and I have four beautiful little grandsons, and my son and daughter have two boys. I've been very blessed. My son and his wife do not go to church or mass, and that breaks my heart, of course. But I'm trying my best to be a good example to my grandsons. But I don't want to overwhelm them. I really would like a blueprint. I mean, I bought them little Catholic Bibles, you know, for children and their rosaries. And whenever I'm with them, I talk about God and Jesus. But I really need a roadmap because I don't know what they are absorbing. And I'd like that help from you.
Is this your son or your daughter?
My son and his wife.
Do they object?
No. In fact, we took my little guy last Sunday to the children's mass at my parish. And he was very good. They don't object. But I think they feel that I'm taking on their responsibility and they're only too happy to give it to me.
In other words, they don't believe this religion thing. But, hey, it's a nice little thing to people to believe. Okay, it's kind of like a cosmic therapy, and it won't do any damage. So if Grandma, who's a religious person, wants to do this, we're not going to stop her. Is that kind of their attitude?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, because you have free reign. Now, you don't have crazy free reign. In other words, they're probably not going to let you say to the 6-year-old, let's come over here and pray a rosary in Aramaic while we kneel on broken glass and levitate. Not going to let you do that.
Okay.
But they'll let you, and you say you want a blueprint or a roadmap. I'm not sure, Jerry, there is something like that. But you can do the introductions, prayers before meals. You can always give them a little blessing at night. May the Lord watch over you and keep you while you sleep. In other words, you are introducing the concept that there is a higher power, and you can introduce Jesus, too. I always pray for you with Jesus.
Okay. Uh-huh.
All the time I do that for you. And maybe when they're at your house, you babysit them. I'm going to read you this story here from your Bible book. Bring it next time you come. I want to read you that story. So all you're doing is these nice little intros.
Okay.
Years ago when I was out of the Catholic Church, I was in the evangelical world. And I had a prison ministry. I went to the local county jail and ran a Bible study. And I asked the guys, why are you here? Why did you come to this Bible study? And one fellow said, well, I wasn't raised with any religion at all. But my aunt every so often took me to church. And that just made me look at this like it's possible. So there you go, Jerry. You're a wonderful influence. And remember, be the sweetest, kindest, most loving grandma you can possibly be, because you want them to say, my grandma's the most religious person I know, and she's also the most loving, sweet person I know. Except for me. You don't have to introduce me.
How are the people of God, the Church, related to religions who have yet to receive the gospel? According to the Catholic Catechism, the Church is linked to the Jewish religion. The Jews were the first to hear the word of God. The Jewish faith is already a response to God's revelation in the Old Covenant. To the Jews belong the patriarchs, the sonship, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. Of their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ. For the gifts, says the Catechism, and the call of God are irrevocable. The Muslims are related to the Church in that they acknowledge the Creator, profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge on the last day. The Church's bond with other non-Christian religions stems from the common belief in the origin and end of the human race, which in both cases is our Creator God. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John, chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets. All the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi will commence now. We assure you that this randomly selected program is one of Dr. Ray's least worst.
Oh, Georgia, you were on my mind. I wish you would have stayed on the line. You bring up a level of all kinds of things. Camille, it was terrible. It was terrible because Camille had a hurricane named after her relatively recently. Camille, I hope that's not a commentary on your personality. How are you?
It could be. It could be. That's how people remember me. I say it's just like the hurricane.
You are big time now. You've arrived. You have storms named after you.
I think I was named after Greta Garbo movie, but anyway.
Hey, be careful. Some of our listeners don't even know who Greta Garbo is.
Of course they don't. I know.
Well, you have an interesting insight. Go ahead, share it with us.
Okay, well, I'm a religious ed teacher, and I've also been a history teacher. Always been around middle school children, who you know are difficult time period to teach.
Anyway, you're my hero. You're my hero.
I like to give, like, play bingo for, you know, vocabulary and do all kinds of creative stuff and give prizes, but I don't do it all the time, and sometimes I don't give prizes and sometimes I do. But believe it or not, they get, like, tired of the prizes. You know, they're like, "Oh, is this all you got us?" And I'm like... I mean, like, you know, it's lollipops or whatever. They're like, "Well, can't we get, you know, anything else?" So, I mean, I don't think reinforcing them all the time works. I think it's much better with intermittent, but sometimes that even falls flat for me.
All right. You be the analyst.
I think kids are so jaded now.
Well, that you're segueing into my question, my dear. You analyze this. Why do you think it is that something that you thought would be preferable, they'd like it? They look at it like, Sarah, Peggy Lee song, is that all there is? Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know if it's because I teach in a private school and maybe they get a lot of things all the time from their parents. You know, they get iPads and all, you know, the top-of-the-line stuff, and maybe They just expect stuff now.
I think you hit it.
So
the there's, again, I'm going to draw a parallel here to research. When they get mice or rats to perform certain types of behavior by using reinforcers, what they found was that there has to be a state of deprivation. I remember reading one study that said the body has to be at about 80% of its optimum weight for food pellets to work. That
wow.
seems to be the max. Well, from what you described, American children materially, as a general rule, are not deprived. They get a boatload of stuff. You get your hair cut, you get a rubber spider, you know your CCD verses, you get a bag of candy, 6 sticker books. You go out to eat, food's never enough, you got to get something to go with it. So everywhere they go, in general, especially kids who are middle class or above, they get a lot of stuff. And so your rewards are kind of like, I got 27 suckers at home, and I'm not that big on these sucker things. So I think you've tapped into it.
But
go ahead.
But can I just say this one thing? And I absolutely love your show, and I try to listen to you every day at work. Anyway, I'm not doing work, I'm listening to your show. But when I have a child who comes in my room and says, "Hey, I forgot my snack or whatever," and I pull out a cookie, then they're so happy. So I understand what you're saying. I think that they don't have as much a need for these tokens as maybe when I was a kid. I thought it was great to get a lollipop, you know.
Well, sure. My grandparents used to tell me, for example, my mother-in-law told me that for Christmas in her stocking, they got an orange. And they were ecstatic. Fresh fruit for a gift. You put an orange in a kid's stocking right now, he's going to turn you into children's services. It's true. So you're right.
True.
That when let me reverse this. Parents will say to me, "I've taken away one of his privileges. The thing that I think he most likes to do, because he did this, I took that privilege away, and it didn't even bother him." And I'll say, "Well, what's his life normally like?" "Oh, he has so much. He gets to go, do, get, have. I said, "Well, you know what you did? You just scraped a little bit of icing off the cake is all you did. So, yeah, he can live without it because he's got 27 other things to occupy his time." So it's kind of a reverse of what you're saying, but it's a phenomenon that's very true. I'll share with you something. I volunteered years ago when I was just out of high school at the Toys for Tots. You remember Toys for Tots?
Yeah, I do.
I stopped doing it after 3 years because the kids would come in and I'd be all excited to show them some toy and they'd go, "I already have one of those. Let me see something I don't have." Oh, yeah, that was very common. Very common. And these are generally poorer kids. But they still had a lot of that stuff. And the Toys for Tots were not really a toy that I get absolutely nothing at Christmas time, so this one toy means the world to me. There wasn't a whole lot of that. There was, "Well, let me see what you got here that I don't have."
So before I hang up, I just want to say this one thing. I offered a homeless person, because, you know, in D.C. we have a lot of homeless, a dollar. And he said to me, "Is that all you're going to give me?" So that's the state of the world.
Camille, I would say give out your reinforcers fewer and farther between.
Thank you so much.
All
right. Have a great day.
All righty, my dear. Bye. She tapped into it. She truly did. My daughter Hannah was a reader. So before we homeschooled, the two older kids were in parochial school locally. With a certain amount of reading, you could go to the goodie bag. In the goodie bag were erasers. At one point, Hanny had 49 erasers at her desk. Her Scrooge mother and I, I'm including me in the Scrooge duo, said, Han, you're a good reader. You don't need an eraser every time you read a book. Give all but two of them back to your teacher. And she looked at me like, well, I earned those. Those are mine. And of course, the teacher, I can only imagine the teacher's reaction. What kind of lunatics does she have for parents? But Hanny didn't need 50 erasers because she reads. She was going to read anyway. And I don't want the erasers to become a motivation for reading. Only thing that bothered me, the thing that bothered me the most, she gave back the Hulk eraser. Why would you give back the Hulk eraser? You don't keep the Wolf eraser over the Hulk. I felt like a failure as a dad.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We're living in such a divisive country right now. So much cancelization on social media, so many attacks, so much vitriol. Not to mention, people may be concerned for their own safety because it's been shown over and over again that people do not want to hear a different opinion, and some can get violent with it. So they're scared. Results from every generation reveal a double-digit gap between what people are willing to say publicly and what they think privately. So while about 1 in 4 Americans say they trust the media, only about 1 in 14 truly trust the news they're being fed. It looks like a lot of people are in line with those of us who also distrust the media, and more than we even realize, according to this latest report.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The Second Commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The disclosure of a name in the ancient world belonged to the order of trust and intimacy. And so when God revealed his name to Moses, it was an extraordinary outreach to us, saying that we were called to an intimate, trusting relationship with him. And so we should always reverence this name as a great gift. We should obviously never use God's name to curse or to blaspheme or to berate others. God's name is meant to bring blessing. And likewise, the vain use. Vain means empty. So some of these expressions like, oh my God, or, you know, and so on, need to be avoided as well. Vain means empty, and those are using God's name as an empty kind of expression of exasperation. And then finally, never ever to use God's name to swear an oath falsely. God is the God of truth. The Second Commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
You're listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Calls, 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to get onto the program. Women of Grace, good Lord permitting. I'm going to go down there, tape a number of shows with Johnette. She's a wonderful lady. Smart, attractive. Incredibly articulate. So we're going down, be with Johnette. That will be, I believe, the 21st. We're going to be taping 4 shows. And I know their producer said to me, Ray, can you bring a change of outfits? 4 change of outfits. I wrote back. I said, I don't even have 4 outfits. Got a couple different ties. Maybe I could turn one around so you can see the backside of it. Because Johnette is always, she's just impeccably dressed. I'm the before picture on her program. But she's on Monday through Friday without me. 11 Eastern time. On course. Tuesday through Saturday morning. 3 Eastern time. On EWTN Radio. Okay? She embraces the Catholic faith with joy and peace for you and shows you how to do it. So that's really kind of cool. One more thing I want to make an announcement here before I forget. Another member of the EWTN radio family, KYEG FM 90.1 in Fairmount, Minnesota. 9 years on the network. Congratulations, Steve Landsteiner and his great team at Fairmount Area Catholic Radio from all of us here at EWTN. All right, well, Eric's screening some calls. I'm going to go to this. This caller was on my mind for quite a while. She didn't stay, but she just wanted to suggest I write a book about how to build faith in children. There's a whole lot of books out there like that, probably a lot better than anything I would write. And here's what she said. This is fascinating. As a child, she remembers being told all the time that if she had any doubts about the faith or anxiety, her mother would respond by, well, you don't have any faith. She said that didn't help. Well, I could understand that, why that wouldn't help. My grandmother came from Italy. She was 8 years old. Went to St. Anthony Parish, the parish of Mother Angelica in Canton, Ohio. If the priest said it, my grandmother didn't need any other explanation. The priest said it. It's not that way anymore. It's not that way at all anymore. We can't just tell our kids the what of the faith. Now we got to tell them the why. We got to show them how reasonable it is, how in fact it works so very, very well to live the kind of life our Lord wants us to live. So indeedy, I would tell parents, please, especially these older kids, 14, 15, 16, they are going to have all kinds of doubts because they're planted there by their peer culture and the entertainment and everything around them in our secular humanist culture. So therefore, know the reasoning, the logic, and the evidence. Go to Shroud.com or go to Eucharistic Miracles or go to Fatima. All kinds of powerful stuff. Father Robert Spitzer has gathered together in several of his books all the scientific evidence regarding the truth of our faith. There's a lot of it out there. Even I never realized how much there was, but it's there. Linda from Rochester, New York. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Yes, ma'am.
I was calling to share a little story of the woman who was just talking about rewards. It made me think of a story. I have three kids. They're 16, 19, and 20. We've gotten through some of the tougher decisions. One of our kids is 19, and this weekend she was reflecting on a time when my husband and I took away every single marker, crayon, colored pencil, any object to draw with as a consequence because she had been lying. And we were out on a date, and I said, we need to take something away that matters. And there was too much stuff. So my husband said, she needs to not be able to draw because she loves it, just for a short time. So we gave her 10 of each. She had to earn the right to do it, and it took us an hour to round up all of the markers and crayons. But as a 19-year-old, she said, wow, I remember that morning, and I remember thinking, whoa, Mom and Dad really are in control. And that was what we were looking for, was for her to kind of take a step back and realize that what we were asking of her was to follow in suit with our values and morals, and we needed an upper hand. It took us a while to figure it out, but I just it just made me think about how important it is to think about each child individually and what matters to them. But also, I would just throw in, she had like a little a doll she took with her everywhere. And emotionally, we never considered taking the doll because that would have crushed her. So I think there's a line, and I think it's a tough question for parents. And I just wanted to comment on that.
Well, you spur in me a couple of thoughts. It sounds like, first of all, you made a very powerful statement regarding lying. You took away her prized 172 possessions. You did that. And you conveyed this. But it's interesting. It sounds also like your daughter, how old was she when you did this?
6 or 7.
Okay, so she was little. Did she lie after that you caught?
There were times, middle school times, yeah. But we broke the cycle that we saw starting in a big way and pulled her back to us, which we found over the years with each kid. You know, you got to kind of break into that cycle when things get a little lax.
Right, let me play psychologist.
Whatever they're working on.
Let me play psychologist on you.
Sure.
You took away all the drawing accoutrements, and you didn't worry about any kind of attachment to those. But you worried about the psychological consequences of saying you don't have your doll for 2 days, right?
We did.
Okay. What made you make that differential?
We didn't think that she would be able to function without the doll. It was almost Yeah. She admitted that. Actually, when we talked about it this week, she said, "Oh, I'm so glad you didn't take the doll." But it was just, at that point, it was something that was almost, it felt like a necessity for her to handle. She's just a big introvert, and the doll was a safe place for her in all the places that we took her, and family Sunday dinners and all those things that were and still are hard for her. But she worked herself out of that.
So you had a very sensitive kind of kid.
Yes.
And her response to discipline, you used the word crush, would not be resistance or defiance. Depending upon what you did, it might, I don't want to say crush, that's kind of a strong word, but it would impact her emotionally.
Yes.
Did she cry when you took away all the writing implements?
No.
No?
That's how we felt. She looked stunned, like big eyes, jaw drop. What? and we said, you can still draw. You have to ask permission. And as we trust you more and you prove that you're honest.
Well, you have to. This is why, Linda, you should have come to me sooner.
I've called you about her before.
Oh. You should take away the good colors, you know, the autumn leaves or the pink flower. Leave her the crappy colors. Leave her brown, white, black stuff. You got to leave her those colors. And then you say, okay, well, if you want lake sunset, you have to re-roof the house. Why do I have to think of these things? Well, I'll tell you this. It's one other thing. You were saying that you didn't want to take the doll because that would crush her emotionally. But she's only 19. She may have time. She may have time to talk to her therapist at some point in her 20s, deciding some of the stuff you did, especially taking away her right arm that she uses to draw with like that. But yeah, you don't know what she's going to tell her therapist.
Well, we didn't do a good job. She doesn't have to go to therapy over us, did we?
Not yet. Not yet. She's got plenty of years yet to have to go to therapy. Linda, thank you so much for a nice call. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
You take good care. Bye. I'll tell you what. My mom and dad take my crayons away. I had 8 crayons. You know those Crayola things where you got 8? And Mary Beth, the one girl that came in, she had the 64. And I'm thinking, I don't even know what 54 of those colors are. I had red and blue and green and yellow. Those are my colors. And Mary Beth could draw really nice pictures and get A's on her pictures because the teacher would say, "A beautiful blend of colors. How so very nice. I wish Ray would do something like that." And I deliberately colored out of the lines just to do that on purpose. That's right. And I used a lot of black so they could go to the psychologist counselor at our school and say, "I don't know. He's drawing with a lot of black. That indicates kind of a struggle with anxiety or some kind of deep-seated aggression. There's a lot of black in that coloring." I'm Dr. Ray.
Hello, Steve Ray here. Hard to believe it's already been 20 years of leading Catholic pilgrimages. So we're going to celebrate with a Danube River cruise. We've chartered our own ship. We'll share meals and enjoy good Catholic fellowship together. We hope you can join us next June through Budapest, Vienna, Salzburg, Prague, and a whole lot more. But sign up quick. It's already more than half full.
To learn more about your Ave Maria radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Did you know my mom's gonna have a baby?
We heard the heartbeat and my dad said this is gonna be someone very special.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We hope you'll consider supporting the work of Pro-Life Across America. Your gift will help offer life-saving alternatives to those in need. Visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or like us on Facebook.
You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. No, Andrew, they're not taking a bus to a bookstore. They're taking a bus, the Mother Angelica tour. You go to Rhoda Wise House and the areas around town where Mother Angelica was a young nun. Now, interesting, I'm behind the plexiglass here, and a lot of these folks who came from The Rock, which is a station up in Cleveland, AM 1260, and I'm behind a plexiglass. Now, this reminds me of one of two things. One, I'm either a perp who's being questioned, in fact, by the cops, or, in fact, they're just looking at me like I'm kind of in the zoo. Anyway, we had a great question here from Summer. In Buffalo, she was Station of the Cross. She was following up on the teacher call. She wanted to share about meaningful rewards and her experience. But she's not there anymore. And she called in the summer. So she should have. Parents will say this to me. They will either say on one side, rewards don't work. Or on the other side, they will say, whatever we take doesn't matter. Part of that is the demeanor presented by the child, which is, hey, I don't care what you do to me. It doesn't bug me. That bugs parents a lot. We care that they don't care that we care. On the other hand, it is a reflection. You can take it as an indicator that perhaps your children have too much materially. I haven't done any formal surveys. But I would like to ask the parent of an average 5-year-old girl, how many stuffed animals does she have? Now, my guess would be it's going to be somewhere between 15 and 25. Dr. Ray, come on. Stuffed animals are sweet. They're nice. They're great. I agree. They are. But is it harder to have a special stuffed animal when you have 25? Many of you might remember having one stuffed animal that you carried with you all over the place until you went to college. Well, actually, in college for the first couple of years. I know I did when I was away from home up at Case. Had my stuffed animal with me. That's why I didn't get any dates. I had to bring the stuffed animal, and the girls would say, what is that? Oh, I got it when I was 3. It means a lot to me. My stuffed Boofy. Mm-hmm. But in fact, the numbers go up and the attachment goes down. They become more or less decoration. You can't see that there's a bed under there. Typically, they accumulate. They gather. They come from every direction. I remember
Oh, I don't have enough time to tell this story. Yeah, I'll tell it later some other time if I remember. We had a rule for our kids. You could have one stuffed animal, pick the one you want, and then the other ones we give to Children's Hospital. Well, that lasted for about the first six kids. Then the seventh kid got three. Eighth kid got six. Ninth kid got 11. Tenth kid got 275. Or somewhere thereabouts. Hey, thanks for joining me here on The Doctor's Inn. I appreciate it so very much. Andrew Krucek, thank you. Eric Dumont, thank you, and all of you. I appreciate your company so very, very much. Walk with God. Now, that's a reward you're never going to get tired of.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.